Got it, thank you.
So we're back on the record on the matter of Colleen Nugent and Chief Police Department, Town of Guilford, packet number FIC 2022-0174. We've all had an opportunity to review the in-camera records again, and I'll let the other commissioners speak first. Commissioner Hankins or Commissioner Fuzeci?
I've made up my mind, that's how I will vote.
Okay, forget it, Commissioner Fuzeci.
Oh, do you want to discuss it now, or? Yeah, I mean, I've looked at it the second time, and my view is like it was last time. I believe that, without getting too far into it, that there is a corroboration. Allegations, and, you know, I mean, it's almost hand-in-hand with probable cause. I know it's not probable cause, but, you know, I mean, there's some jurisdictions that say probable cause doesn't even have to be more than that. But, I mean, I don't want to say what's in the report, the police report, but it's a good police report. And I know it was done after the fact, after the statute of limitations has expired. There won't be an arrest. And I believe he's loosed his mortal coils at this point in time anyway, the alleged perpetrator, or whoever he is. I mean, I really think that there is corroborated allegations, that they are corroborated, that they're not uncorroborated. And I believe, again, without putting too much into it, that he would have, you know, if there was the time machine, he would have been arrested way back when. So I would just say that they are corroborated based on my view of it. I'd be interested in hearing what anybody else has to say about
Mr. Streeter.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So, you know, I looked at it again, and, you know, I still think that there was a corroboration, but I think the corroboration may be a small c instead of, because I don't think it actually went in to say what exactly happened. Something may have occurred, something did occur, but it didn't actually spell out what it was. And that's where I think that the delineation, I can definitely understand where, you know, Commissioner Hankins is coming from. And it seems that there was something, but it was a small c corroboration. So I don't see that was as far as what the police department would have to go forward to a district attorney as far as to get charges, even if it was within the scope of the statute of limitations. So, I mean, I would approve the hearing officer's report as written, but I do want to hear what my fellow commissioners have to say.
I would add that, so you don't have to hear it, Commissioner Fuzeci. Well, I think Commissioner Streeter has stated the argument that I also agree with at this point, so I would vote for the hearing officer's report.
There's also another aspect.
At this point, I'm sorry, the discussion.
There's another aspect to it that corroborates it also. And I remember when I was an assistant court clerk hearing, a definition of rape. And I know this is not rape, it's not even anywhere near it, but the definitions of culpability, there's definitions of touch. I can't really, there's gradations. And I think these gradations go into the cooperation. And there's also other things that this individual says in there to the police officer, but there's gradations, and I think the gradations tie into cooperation.
I agree with Commissioner Hankins. I'm just looking at the definition of corroborate. It says to strengthen, add weight or credibility to a thing, you know, by additional or confirming facts or evidence, or to state facts tending to produce confidence in the truth of a statement made by another. And I think the facts that were set forth in that police report do strengthen Mr. Einhorn? Okay. I do think the information in that police report that was gathered, it produces confidence in the truth of the statement made by the one who was making the allegation. So I agree with Commissioner Hankins. I understand what the hearing officer was saying. It is a difficult matter, but I do think when I look at that definition of corroborate, that it does add weight or credibility to the thing that was being discussed here, the allegation that was being made by the woman or the girl at that time. So,
can I ask? I'm still struggling with the decision. So, what would be the consequence of your position? What would you suggest would be the next step? What would there be? Motion to reject the hearing? What's the procedural?
Well, I think Commissioner.
Let's assume your viewpoint is the correct viewpoint that one wants to.
I think you would reverse the decision and state that the records can be released.
Attorney Einhorn, Commissioner Einhorn was here that day too.
I do want to hear from Commissioner.
So reverse and release would be.
We can do that here today if we do that.
Well, typically somebody would at least raise this report, move it for adoption and see if it fails. If it passes or it fails, as you would in the ordinary course.
Okay.
If it fails, then you're going to have to give some direction about what to do. We'd probably have to direct us to revise it and then bring it back before you again is the likely result today, if that's the avenue you go down.
Okay. I do want to hear from Commissioner Einhorn. Are you there?
I'm here. I remember going through this. Gosh, it was a while ago now,
yeah.
I guess.
That's a good question.
My sense at the time was, I'll be honest with you, was to not to approve the report. Listening to all of you, Commissioner Hankins and so forth, I'm not so sure I was right. So I'm just sort of.
So wait a minute. Now, Commissioner Hankins has said don't approve the report.
Right.
And I'm saying don't approve the report. You're saying.
My sense is that I was, I think that is probably the right way to go. Just based upon my recollection from last time we did this.
I mean, based on your review, Commissioner Einhorn, of the report, police report, would it be your opinion then, particularly as a criminal defense attorney, that there was a cooperation?
Yeah, I think so.
That sound like a lawyer?
Yes.
I know counsel is asking to speak, but go ahead. Just identify yourself for the record.
Chuck McLean, attorney for the respondents. I wanted to sort of choose my words carefully earlier. It seems we're sort of getting closer and closer to the line of sort of, coming in and sort of making some conclusions about what may be in that report. I would just sort of encourage, I think if you're looking at corroboration, you're looking for specific acts that were corroborated. It's not sort of, some sort of a general, that's not something that really the police are going to be able to sort of, proceed on. I don't know if that's the right sort of the standard. And I think you sort of look at, this decision, if it does sort of reject it and go back and sort of revise, sort of how the investigation should have been handled, I think it sort of opens the door to, a lot more of these cases, in the immediate future for the commission.
But just in response to what you're saying, the police could have proceeded on the woman or the girl's statement alone. Correct?
The police could have proceeded on the
girl's statement. If there wasn't a statute problem here.
It's possible, if they
chose to, they don't have to get an admission or something from someone else.
They
don't need another statement from some eyewitness. They could go on the allegation.
But as you're saying, proceeded.
I was just listening to what you, I was responding to what you had said. Okay. Thank you. Attorney Samaruco?
I want to make sure we're clear on this. We understand there was issues about the investigation. We're not challenging that. We're not saying what, I know there was a lot of witness testimony at the hearings. I actually did listen to all close to 3 hours of the recording. We simply say what you've seen. And again, I'm a person who's not seen what's in there, there's some irony arguing, but that based on what was described, listening to the testimony, that there, that based on what's in the record, what you have, that there is sufficient corroboration. That's my position. Be very clear on that.
Can you repeat that?
That there's sufficient corroboration in what you have and what you've reviewed, there's sufficient corroboration.
In the report, and you're referring to a report that you haven't seen.
Yeah, the report, there's irony on that. I understand that. I'm just telling you what's been described and what was in the report by the conversation of a police officer to, you know, the testimony. So I understand that I'm maybe the least capable person to be saying it, but I think based on the standard of what it, the Gottlieb standard, that there's enough here of corroboration. So.
Mr. Fusashi.
Can propose, hearing officer would like to speak.
Attorney Housen.
No, I think the commissioners have reviewed the records. You know, I stand by the findings and the conclusions. I think there could be a difference in terms of interpretation. I am sticking strictly within the record, so I'm not speculating as to, you know, whether the police department had enough to, you know, arrest this gentleman and to proceed. That's totally outside of my purview. And so, again, I'm looking strictly at the statements that are in the record and just based on the statute and my interpretation of it in light of that. Again, I believe I was the one that wrote Gottlieb. My recollection is that one of the key distinguishing factor was that there were more accounts that were similar to corroborate the allegation. Here, I think it's a little harder because I think we just have two accounts in the record at issue. So I think, you know, it's the pleasure of the commissioners. You get to decide ultimately the outcome.
I would, Commissioner Hankins, I think that Attorney Housen, as the hearing officer, did a good job of separating the sheep from the goats, I guess, from you know, the 3 hours, boiling it down to really what the essential factors were. You know, and I think if, like you're saying, Attorney Housen, that is a matter of interpretation. You know, and I think in one sense it's kind of simple looking at the distillation. On the other hand, I, you know, I've looked at it and, you know, I cobbled together what I believe to be the corroboration without even just the statement from the person himself. It, you know, without, again, you know, getting too far into the weeds on this, but I mean, I believe that given what the little I know about criminal law and probable cause, and, you know, I mean, a long time ago, I used to represent back in the last millennium, you know, the a police department. We used to have to go to court, federal court, state court, to talk about probable cause, and there was a appellate court case that I was involved in October of 1996 that dealt with probable cause. And I matched probable cause with corroboration of, you know, but I understand the difference. But to me, it's the cobbling together of the various statements that establishes the corroboration. And I could tell you what they are, but can't.
Okay. So Attorney Murphy, you were just saying?
I'm just thinking of an alternate way to approach this. If somebody wanted to move to amend the report in a certain way, you can do that as well. Or you can call a question on this report, and if it should fail, then just direct staff to prepare reconsideration down the road.
So move to amend and change the decision.
So we don't even have it on the table. So for discussion purposes, I will move the hearing officer's report for adoption. And then we can get on the table if it's second.
Paul second it.
Motion's been made and seconded.
Okay, now that it's on the table, now that you can make it.
yeah, you can decide. You can decide which way you want to, which way you want to do it. I mean, and now that it's called for consideration, you can.
Most places you move it right up front, and then have all the right. discussion afterwards. So it's not that it's been moved for consideration; it's moved well, as is.
Adoption, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now we have discussion.
Right, which
we've already had.
Well, no, because we're going to discuss what we want to do with it next.
Okay.
I mean, I have trouble, you know, it's such a, like we said, a razor thin. I have, obviously, you have to find some sort of violation. I think that it's difficult to, you know, other than say that, look, it was, you know, the
exemption doesn't apply.
Well, it does.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's no, what no, you say. Saying. We have, you know, three commissioners that say that there's a violation,
right.
two that don't.
Probably the cleanest approach is to vote on this report.
On this one with the dismissal. And then if.
Yes, and if it should fail, then we need to send it back some way for, you know, for another drafting.
Okay.
This report would fail. There would be nothing will have been finally decided on the case yet.
Is there any discussion?
Yes. I always think that if it fails, it fails. So, but you know, you'd have to have a hope to reconsider.
Is it going to be reassigned, can I ask?
It might be better to remand it back to the hearing officer to take under the consideration of the comments that were made by the majority of the commission.
We're discussing the word I'm really struggling with. And I don't know if it's case law, but it's corroboration something new that the same person might have said.
Yeah.
I'll use this hypothetically. Or is because that the definition you sort of read allows that. Or is corroboration somebody else adding evidence or some new factor that was not, but, and that's, I'm struggling, where do we find out in this fact pattern, what is the meaning corroboration is written in the statute? and to me, I would sort of feel in the corroboration is some new evidence, something new from somebody else. And maybe that's not the right analytic road to go down. But that's what I'm struggling with. What we're struggling with is what is the meaning of the word corroboration for this purpose?
So,
in this fact pattern.
So, Commissioner Fuzetti,
I read it.
I was just reading paragraphs.
I mean, it made me think.
I was just reading paragraph 17, which Attorney Paulson put forth in the decision. And it defined corroboration there. And I didn't read the last line. It was also to give increased support to make more sure or evident. I don't know if that answers your question, but.
But does that mean increased support from the same person, same or a new person? I don't know if that answers that for me, but.
You mean to strengthen to.
Without add, getting into fact patterns.
And weight or credibility to the thing by additional or confirming facts or evidence. State facts tending to produce confidence in the truth of a statement made by another, and to give increased support to make more sure or evident.
Yeah, no, I, yes,
yeah.
It's difficult for me. That's what I'm struggling with.
That's the definition of Gottlieb.
Right.
Up until today.
Tricky when there's just two. You know, if there are just two people involved, I can tell you that when we had the case involving Middlebury, Chief Police Department in Middlebury, where there were only two parties involved, one person said one thing, the other person said something slightly different. There was no other interviews of anybody else. And the commission kind of took the position, well, you didn't really try to get corroboration. And therefore we found that that they hadn't proved the uncorroborated allegations exemption. And the court said, no, you don't get to like, you don't get to look at that or look for other witnesses. There are two people and you can't find, you know, direct corroboration of what the, or lending weight to what the allegations were, then you can't.
Is there a mouse running around?
Yeah. It's more complicated when there aren't other people interviewed. I think as the hearing officer was saying in that Gottlieb case, there were other statements that provided exactly what's quoted there in the Gottlieb case.
And I just thought I had for from your best of your recollection.
Yes, and I struggled with Gottlieb too. These are tough issues. I mean, if it was clear cut, as you were saying, what exactly is it? We would all not be struggling with it, but it is a tough question. Yeah.
Hi, and this is Commissioner Hankins. I mean, if we're struggling with it, and, you know, I imagine what the police, you know, information officer was struggling with it, you know, with it, but. You know, that's why they pay us an appearance fee here, like you were saying, to determine this.
I'm just thinking it through, John Einhorn. I'm just thinking it through logistically. If the vote is in fact not to approve the recommended report, the hearing officer's report, then we're left with no recommendation. And the question I have, Colleen, is do we need to have a hearing officer's report? Do we have to send it back for one consistent with the voter? Can we just dispose of this matter without a hearing officer's report? I've never had that issue before.
We have had it rarely, and the methodology I described is the one that we followed, because I think the commission hasn't wanted to leave the parties necessarily in limbo without really
got a report
in order. Yes.
Well, I think it seems to me, Mr. Chairman, the next step is to take a vote, and as Colleen said, that depending on what the vote is, we know where the work to direct the staff to do.
Attorney Murphy, you think that's the most prudent way to handle
this? At this point, yes, given
the dialogue. There's a motion on the table, correct?
There's a motion. Is there any further discussion of anyone? All right.
Could you clarify what the motion is?
Motion is to adopt the hearing officer's report, which is to dismiss the complaint. So the motion's been made and seconded. No further discussion. I'll take a roll call of those in favor of adopting the hearing officer's report. Commissioner Einhorn?
No.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
No.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, no. So it failed. 3-2.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we direct the staff to prepare a further report for our review consistent with the vote of the commission.
Second.
If it's consistent with the vote of the commission, that's a... that's just to say that we want to reverse it, I assume?
Well, that was the question I was asking before. No, I think what Colleen was saying is we should have some backup behind it.
Is that a motion?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I that's my motion.
Okay. I seconded it. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
So under this procedure that we are voting on, correct, if I understand it correctly, the police department, the report will not be released immediately and handed by the police department to them. But there will be further steps before that could or could not happen.
that we were going to get another look at.
Once the police department should choose to do that on its own volition. There's no order from the commission. Yes.
That I understand.
Any further discussion? The motion is to give direction to the hearing officer to redraft the decision consistent with the vote. Is that correct, Attorney Hendorf?
It is, yes.
Okay. All right, is there any further discussion on that matter? All right, I'm going to take a roll call. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Motion. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
I'll decline to vote.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes 4-1. All right. So. Anything further?
Okay.
Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Hauser.
You're welcome.
Good job. Good work. Everyone's part. Thank you. Appreciate it. So now we're on three.
So we have items 3 through 7.
Three through seven.
We had items 3 through 7 on the agenda, and I believe you received a message from Attorney Ross that Mr. Godbout withdrew all 5 of those matters yesterday afternoon. So those were 5 cases where I was going to ask you to uphold my decision not to schedule them for hearing on the basis that it would perpetrate an injustice and or the abuse of our process. So in my view, this is further evidence of the abuse of our process, but it is.
I'm going to ask we add this to the list along with.
Right. So this has happened before with Mr. Godbout. But in any event, they have been withdrawn, so there's nothing for you to consider at this juncture. So then we can move on to item 8. And I didn't get to confer yet with Attorney Howe.
I have nothing to report.
Okay.
Attorney Murphy.
Thank you. And then under the executive director's report, the only thing, I guess, under general updates is just to make you aware that I believe there may be some appointments by the governor to fill the spots that are within his aura. So we may have some new people joining our ranks soon, which will be great. Then under staff reports, I mentioned last time and I sent an email that our new communications person will be starting on the 24th, which is Friday, and that's Russell Blair. We just closed again our posting, or we're about to close, I guess, tomorrow for our secretary position, so we're going to be trying to fill that. I think that's all I've got under staff reports, and then turning to the legislative report, I'm just going to roll a little into that just to say that we had a hearing on the budget or presentation before the appropriations committee on the budget, and that I think went well. As I said before, the governor put forward the budget that we had requested. Anything this time, I think the committee was looking to see if potentially we might need some more resources, so we're certainly looking at that because we always can use more resources. For the rest of the report, Paula, anything else? Any prime subjects? We have a few things that we are working on, a few meetings and proposals that we're waiting to see come out of the GAE committee. Our package has not surfaced yet as a bill, but we're still hopeful that it will. And let's see, under new business, I have nothing for you.
Let's keep it going. I move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.